White Network presents The Heretics Hour with Carolyn Yeager.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to The Heretics Hour tonight. I'm afraid I'm not quite ready here. I was fixing up my page, which I forgot to do, so I'm still moving things around, but I've got an opening here, if I can find it somewhere. All right.
Here it is.
And anyway, tonight is February 10th, 2014, and probably my sound is going to take a while to come up also, because I haven't been talking on here. So I've got to do a whole lot of stuff here that I haven't done yet. All right, that's better. Wow, what a terrible thing to do. When you're not ready, it really screws things up. Let me move this up a little bit. Okay. See how my sound is now. It's not very good. All right. No, there it's okay now. So we'll just start from the beginning. Thanks for joining me tonight on the Heretics Hour. The date is February 10th, 2014. This is someone's birthday who has been in my life, and it just struck me as I was typing it, but I'm not sure which of three people it is. But I'm going to get right into what I have to say tonight, because I want to make some opening remarks, and I still need to move something over here. Just give me a second. I'm not comfortable with the way this is looking. Okay. I want to get right into it because I have a guest who will be calling in at the half-hour mark, and she is Margaret Huffstickler, who you might associate mostly with the Barnes Review. And it's going to be fun to have Margaret on, as it will be the first time she is here on a program of mine, which is probably something I should have done earlier. But anyway, it worked out for tonight and for the subject matter that we have. Most of you listening are probably aware that I've been writing, posting quite a bit about Rodney Martin lately. In fact, since Thursday the 6th, I have posted three of what you might call exposés or something like that about him. I don't really like to call them that, but I don't quite know what to call them. So two were posted on Thursday, which was February 6th, and a very long one yesterday that I just completed and got up late last night, or kind of late last night. It's made up mostly of newspaper articles from 2007 and 2010 in the Porterville Recorder, Rodney's hometown paper. Now, the question that will be asked, and fairly asked, is, why are you so obsessed with Rodney Martin? Well, it's a good question, and I have an answer, which only came to me when I was on Thursday, when I was posting that first article. And it's the same reason that I was, and probably still am, but I don't work at it like I did, so obsessed with Elie Wiesel, The Amazing Lies. You see, it's about lies, really. It's not about Rodney, except that Rodney tells lies, and incredible number of lies, and ridiculous lies. And I hate lies, and I don't like people who habitually tell them. And once it's clear that somebody's lies are easy to refute, I mean, Martin's lies are easy to refute, and Elie Wiesel's lies are easy to refute. Of course, that does not make them go away. You know, that's the thing. And I'm just wondering that I don't think that Rodney Martin would have the staying power that Elie Wiesel has, because Elie Wiesel has all that power behind him. And so I'll tell you the truth. Sometimes in the last few days, I start feeling sorry for Rodney, and I think, why are you doing this to him? You know, at times that comes over me. Then I will see something that he has said and so on, and I know why, and I'm like, oh, of course you need to do this, of course you should do this, and I get, you know, I see, I have no pity for him whatsoever. So I, you know, it's not that I'm a pitiless person, but some people are just need to be exposed. And all right, I didn't. So this exposure is why is it important with Rodney? Well, I was going to talk in the beginning of tonight's show some about you know, the white nationalist movement, or he says that he, you know, he talks about that. He talks about our movement and so on. And, but I realized I didn't have time and to do that and to go into these other things I want to say, before Margaret comes on. And we will probably talk some about that in that way when, after she's on the program. So we'll take care of that then. But for now, why Rodney is important? Rodney's not so important, but people, there are a lot of people who think that he is and have been following him. And, oh, there's so many things I could say. I don't want to sound like I'm just tearing into someone, though. I want to go about this in a little more methodical manner. But it's important that we have, that we follow people who are worth following. And it's amazing how easily fooled we can be, and the general population out there, no matter what it is, who it is, we can be very, very easily fooled. And then eventually we think, well, why did we waste so much time with this, that, or the other? We don't get anywhere. I think that in our movement, we have a lot of people who are either defectives, what are called defectives, and William Pierce talked about defectives, and he said towards the end of his life that that the movement that he had, even the National Alliance, was full of people who he considered defectives, and he didn't even want them. And he wanted a movement of strong and intelligent and morally sound people. And this is kind of where I'm going here, that if we're going to ever get anywhere, and I don't have time to really go into that, but if we're going to get anywhere, we can't have people who are compulsive liars. And Rodney Martin might be sincere. He might have some good qualities. Of course he has some good qualities. But he's got a problem in that he's a compulsive liar, it seems. And many people are saying now, after some of these things I've published, why doesn't Mark Rodney just tell the truth? Why, you know, the truth was not so bad. Why doesn't he just tell the truth? Why does he tell all these weird lies? Well, that to me is the number one issue. And to see the extent of his lies, I decided that I had better not just put forth my own opinion on them, and because they're easy to see through. And it's easy for me, who I have a lot of life experience, and I particularly have a lot of experience with newspapers. And so much of what Rodney has distorted and lied about is this newspaper that has all these articles about him. I better go into that. So he moved to Porterville, California, in either the end, towards the end of 2006 or in 2007. I guess he was already there in 2006, because that interview, you know, along with these three recent posts, I wrote a couple of posts a few months ago about Rodney, and that was after I did that radio show about that one article that mentioned in there that his wife was Eastern Cherokee. that's not so important today, whether that issue, because there's so many other issues that have come up since then, you know, because of this looking into Rodney and the way Rodney has reacted to it. So at that time, you know, I got I was directed to that one article in the Porterville Recorder from someone who sent me an email who said that he didn't like the way Rodney was putting down other people as not being pure enough and pure white enough and so on, when he had his own thing in his background, and he sent the link to that article. It was a decent person who sent it to me. It wasn't some big troublemaker. He just had happened by accident for some reason to come across that. And so I looked at it, and I was quite surprised, not just at that, but I mean the whole story. The whole thing was quite surprising, and I decided to talk about it. So that's where that started. And in this newspaper you know, Rodney has been very active in his hometown in politics and so on. And so in this newspaper, there are actually 100 things of articles, also some editorials, quite a few editorials that he has written, and some letters to the editor that he has written, and mostly articles written by the reporters that he's included in, and the quotes from him and what he's saying, and you know, disagreements he's having with other people in, you know, that are involved in what he's involved in, and so on. So you've got all of this. It's 10 pages of 10 articles, and at that time I just looked at that one. I think I looked at a couple more, and I thought I had seen enough. But I last week sometime, somebody sent me, and you know, the thing was kind of quieted down, but someone sent me something that he had written on someone's Facebook page, saying a lot of the same old lies, and they are nonsense or whatever, about me and the white network and all this stuff. And it irritated me once again, and that's why I wrote the first article that I posted on Thursday, the Rodney Martin question, where's the evidence? That's where I came up with comparing him to Elie Wiesel, and I think it's a great comparison, and I will probably, if I have any reason to continue with this, probably continue with that too. And I responded to that. And then I thought, I'm going to go back to that Porterville Reporter, and I'm going to look at everything on there to see what I can find. And so I spent that evening, no, I spent, it was Wednesday evening. It was, I had written up this thing, but I hadn't posted it, and I waited till morning, and I went over it and, you know, corrected and formatted it and all that stuff, before I posted it on Thursday. But I had already basically written it, and so then that night I spent a few hours looking throughout. Well, I read everything from 2007, and I found all those two things, that letter to the editor and the editorial, in which he was clearly anti-Hitler, anti-Third Reich, pro-diversity, pro Statue of Liberty, and all of these things, and he was sincerely saying these things, I believe. And this was in 2007, so I thought, I have, you know, wow, this is dynamite. So I came out with that, and then I thought, well, now I've got to read everything, because I don't know what might be in there, you know. So I don't say that I read everything, but I went through and read. First, I read everything from 2008, And then I went and looked at everything that looked of any interest, that wasn't just something that was nothing, you know, from the other years. And then I put together what I posted last night about, which is basically from newspaper articles that are about the card room deal. Because I think the most interesting thing about Rodney that tells us the most, besides these personal things I just mentioned, is this his involvement in the card room as the administrator of the Tule River Indian tribe. And the card room is, of course, a gambling room that, and I'm not going to go into the details of that because you can read about it. But by the time I finished with all of that, I thought I'm going to put this all together. And it might be too much for a lot of people to read, but I think that it's, I'm glad that I have it all together, at least as much as I have there. And I didn't find anything more about that in those archives. Just to have it, you know, just to have it all together there for whatever use it might be, in the future. So it's not any smoking gun in there, but my feeling at the end of it is that Rodney Martin, did not leave his position as tribal administrator willingly or because he was fed up or he thought they were corrupt or something, but that he was fired or forced out because, of some incompetence the card room process was not handled right, and he says that he wasn't in charge of it, but he was, because all these articles show him being in the center of attention of it. You know, if you are able to plow through all that, it's not difficult reading. You might learn something about it. So what I want to talk about now in the next few minutes I have is that I telephoned the newspaper today, this morning. I talked to the editor of the Porterville Recorder, Mr. Rick Elkin. Now, I didn't need for myself to talk to this editor to know what Rodney was saying that was not true. And I knew the stuff he was saying was not true, because one of his main things that he has said is to say that the newspaper people were lying about him and that stories were pulled that are still there and things were done, but they never really were done. And all of these crazy things that just don't make any sense. And so I thought, well, I better call this, see if I can talk to somebody there and find out what they have to say so I can get it more authoritatively. And so this editor, Rick Elkin, was very nice. He didn't act like he was impatient with me or didn't seem unwilling to talk to me, and he answered my questions in a very professional manner and, you know, basically kind of friendly. I mean, not really friendly, but and then, you know, I tried to be as brief as possible, and then he only at one point when I started describing that trying to get at whether he knew about any of this, what Rodney calls the, where they fired this reporter that he had come out with, you know, some time back. The first thing he came out with, in response to my first radio program that this black reporter and this Jew copy editor had put this thing in there about his wife there were complaints, his wife complained and, they took it out and, they did all these things and yet it's still there after all these years. And they did all these things and she was fired and so on. And yet I showed that her byline continued for two more years. Well, I mentioned the black reporter and the Jewish copy editor. And he said, at that point, he said, well, just where are you going with this? And then I said, well, I know it sounds nutty. And I went and asked him something else. And then he wasn't upset and he continued talking to me. So he did tell me that he the paper changed hands in May 2013, last May. And that's when he became editor. So he said he didn't know. He couldn't say anything about what was done before that. But I asked him because, you know, Rodney just recently said that he talked to, I've got that here. Let me find that. He's got this on his website now. This latest response to, he called Some People Need to Get a Life. You see, he posted that, somewhere, and now he's got it on his website. That's all right. This Get a Life thing, he's got a big thing that says Get a Life. You know, that's exactly what I hear from the Jews who write in to the Elie Wiesel, website and complain to me, to the site owner, and say, they always want to say, get a life. You need to get a life. Why are you taking time to write about Elie Wiesel? You know, he's a great man anyway. Why are you going after him? You need to get a life. Well, that's exactly what Rodney chose to say. And, you know, I want to point out that when Rodney speaks, he uses the same kind of language, the same kind of tactics that Jews do. I'm not saying he's Jewish, but he uses that same tactic of attacking the person who he says he's being attacked when he's only being asked questions that he doesn't want to answer, just like Elie Wiesel. And so instead people turn around and attack you for even asking such questions, and you're being unfair to the person and so on. Anyway, he said here, all right. The current letters and article that is being storied about by one of my detractors were fraudulently submitted to the paper, and the paper failed to verify that they were submitted by me. And they didn't call me, as many papers do today. They just accepted those things, but they were later pulled. You know, this is ridiculous because they're still there, and one was an editorial and one was a letter to the editor. They were never pulled. And of course, if somebody, the letter had his own, the editorial had his byline on it. Everybody there knows him. This editor said, who's only been there since May 2013. Oh yeah, I know Rodney. He knows Rodney. You know, everybody in that town knows Rodney, obviously. Well, let me stay on this before I go into something else. and the paper, the editorial had his byline on it. And if somebody sent that in fraudulently, all he would do would be to call him and say, hey, that's not mine. And that all would have been taken care of then. It wouldn't still be there. And so let me get back to the, so these things that he comes up with are just ridiculous. You know, I mean, nobody would believe him. Anyway, speaking to the editor, he said that they, I asked him how many employees they have, because here in this thing too, Rodney says, these papers have only about 8 employees. He writes funny, you know. He says, let's keep in mind, the locals paper at any given time, he's probably trying to say the local papers. He's wanting to generalize about all papers, not just that one paper, but we're really just talking about that one. Has at any given time maybe 8 employees. So Rick Elkins told me they currently had 25 employees, which sounds about right for that size of newspaper. And they probably don't print their own. Not too many print their own anymore. They don't have, that's a big expense. And you have to have a lot of employees who charge a lot, printers, you know, professional printers and so on. So 25 regular kind of employees at a paper, that paper, that's a decent amount. They don't have to double up and have everybody doing the same job and so on, like Rodney was saying. And this Elkins also said that I asked him if Rodney still writes editorials for the newspaper. And he said, no, I guess he hasn't written any since the 2010 council election, when he was running for city council. He ran for city council in 2010 and 2012. So he said, well, he probably hasn't written any since 2012, since then. He doesn't write, I said, does he still write letters to the editor? He said, well, once in a while, yeah, but not as much as he did. I've seen a few. So Rodney is still very involved in his community. When this man said, yeah, he knows Rodney, he didn't have any concept that Rodney was not just who he appears in his community. The same Rodney he's always been. Rodney is kind of living a double life. Rodney was always against homosexuality type thing. He was always for Christian ideas, you know, Christian living and so on. So that's nothing unusual for him to go to a meeting and speak up against this, which is what he did not too long ago, speak up against some homosexual type laws. And I think part of the reason that he doesn't want to show a picture, I can't say what difference that would make, but I think he does not want people in his hometown to know about this white nationalism stuff he's in, because they don't seem to know about it. He said that I asked him about this idea about changing changing plans, you know, from the editorship, the new owners for the newspaper, if he knew anything about, was there an idea that you were going to review the past? You know, this is where Rodney wrote this, too. Where is this? Rodney wrote, it should be noted that the local paper pulled those articles that supposedly were fraudulently submitted, which is a lie, and subsequently went bankrupt and fell under new owners. Well, they did get the new owners, completely unrelated to the prior owners. This is Rodney's writing, not just the other day. The new owners told me recently, now that's a lie because they didn't, that simply... And she doesn't write properly, but that simply have reposted all prior articles. He means that they have reposted all prior articles and will review those that have been taken down for cause. That is total, total bull. You know, nobody would do that anyway. New owners wouldn't come on and repost stuff that's already been removed and then say, well, we're going to go through it later and re-review it and see. As this man told me, and as any newspaper person would know, he said that everything, you know, that's on their website in the archives belongs to cyberspace and it's out of their hands, or they have no plans to do anything with it. There's no reviewing going to go on with those things. That there was never a mistake about any of those articles to begin with. And they're not going to do anything about it. And Rodney, though, thinks that he can kind of talk like this, and people are just going to say, oh, okay, and not going to look into it, and not going to think about it, and not going to know any better, because he obviously, you know, I can say sometimes I think Rodney is so stupid, but on the other hand, it's that what's worse is that he thinks we're so stupid. He thinks that the people who he's trying to talk to and, you know, get to join his association, whatever, are so stupid. And they're going to believe all this. And there again, it's similar to Holocaustianity, where they put out these incredible nonsense and expect people to believe it. And the sad thing is that there are people who do believe it. You know, they do believe it, in spite of how absolutely insane so many things can be. There are people who will believe it because they believe the whole schmear. So people who are somewhat, I don't know, invested in Rodney or have been following Rodney for some time and like him and think he's really got the great things to say to them, they're not going to want to change their mind. And the reason that I think it's important to try to educate people about this is because we don't want liars and we don't want our people to be stupid and to believe liars. And there's a lot more lies I can point out, but I think that I have pointed out the most important ones right now, and there's more in this thing here, but and then in the articles that I've written, I pointed out quite a few. So at this point, then see if there's anything more from this editor. His name is Rick Elkin. I told you, and I already told you that. And so I thanked him, and I could always call him again, but there really wasn't anything more for me to ask him that I would, you know, would be helpful here. And I didn't want to say anything too much about Rodney because I didn't call him in order to say bad things about Rodney. So it's interesting that he said he knew Rodney and didn't, you know, didn't make anything of it just as a, you know, as a normal thing because, anyway. So, right now I'm going to invite, Margaret to call in. She's probably been kind of holding off because I've been still talking about this. But I can pick up during the time, the rest of the program, any little points that I think would be good to mention. So I'm going to sort of wait here for I'm going to invite Margaret to call. I'm setting up here ready to answer her call. She needs to, she knows to call the White Network on Skype. While I'm waiting, I have to look at the, I have to see the page here. I can't do away with it. I can't do away with either of these pages I've got up here as long as I'm waiting for this call. So I expect I'm going to get it. So if I can just speak here from memory, I would like to hear, I have a lot of listeners, that's good. I would like to hear from people in the future as to how important they think this is if people are, you know, and the reasons for people lying, okay? I might as well use this time to go into a little psychologizing, which I've thought about Rodney, because I have no personal animosity toward him except when I see the terrible things he's saying about me and the White Network and so on. It's so ridiculous. Of course, I don't think nobody believes it, so I don't really get upset. But he says so often that he was raised by his grandparents, and he makes it sound like it was just wonderful, you know, so idyllic. Oh, he had these wonderful grandparents, German grandparents who raised him. And yet he talks about his father, and he never talks about his mother that I've ever heard. But what happened to his mother and father? Why wasn't he with them? And, you know, in my belief, okay, here's the call. So I'm not going to be freed from my psychologizing here. Okay, well. You won't have to listen to that. I won't have to wonder later why I ever brought it up. Well, this should... Oh, it didn't even go on here. Oh, there it is, yeah. Hi, Margaret.
Hi, Carolyn.
Hey, you sound fantastic.
Oh, good.
Yeah, really.
Now, I better turn it off on the other thing.
Yes. Yeah, Margaret was having a little trouble with her mic. It didn't sound good at all. She got another one.
You don't know. I went 3 times to Best Buy to get one, and they were terrible. And I could go by bus each time, so that was my dedication.
Really.
But this sounds okay now, right?
Yes, it does. You've been great. I really just think it's I'm so glad that you're here, and I'm sorry that you had to go to so much expense and time and everything, but now you've got yourself a good mic.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah, it's interesting to hear what you're saying about, can you still hear me?
Yes, you're on. Good.
I see you in that little thing. Okay, sorry, I just had a message from somebody saying, please call Carolyn, but you're on there, right? And I'm here.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, it's interesting what you're talking about, Rodney, being a liar. You know, the thing is, it's not just about being a liar. It's about what you do with your lies. You know, if somebody just lies about trivial things, that's one thing. But my introduction to Rodney was him with big lies and very malicious lies, and that can really have bad effects. And also that made me question his whole orientation in terms of why is he lying like that. And that's about the Kevin Alfred Strom case. And I guess I sort of have to start from scratch here.
Yeah, go ahead and do that. I'm looking for that page now. I'm going to get that page up.
Okay.
That PDF.
Yes.
Okay.
I had I'll just start. Yeah, start from the beginning. About the second week of January or so, I noticed, I don't know if the listeners know who Michael Weaver is, but he's a resident of Georgia who got in some trouble and was basically railroaded, for pepper spraying, black man, ex-con who was coming towards him at night on the back of the neck. And he ended up pleading guilty to aggravated assault and is, still on probation for that. So anyway, I saw on his web, he has a blog, newsforwhites.com, which is White Information Network. I saw something on it about Kevin Alfred Strom that was labeled More Evidence of Kevin Strom's Pedophilia. And I was a little dismayed by that because I didn't know much about Kevin Strom's case, but it seemed to me that that could be a similar case to Michael's and that he very likely may have been railroaded for being a white nationalist. So I didn't like to see that on Michael's page. Anyway, it ended up, Michael posted it on his Facebook page. So I posted something to him telling him I disapproved.
Yeah, and let me just interfere for a moment. I posted the link to this page after I had sent out the mailer for today's program, but it is on the post at carolynyeager.net. Right at the top of the page on that post, you'll see where it says after Margaret's name, and that's linked to her Facebook page, but underneath that there's a link. If you click on there, anybody who wants to see this page and follow along a little bit with it can find it. You know, it's a PDF, so it has kind of a long URL, which I don't want to read on the air. So, but if you Google Democrat Republicans Kevin Strom debate and PDF, you might come up with it. It's from
yes.
January 11th, 2014, so it's quite recent.
Oh, good. Okay. Yes, it's quite a long transcript, actually. And what's interesting is this ended up being a long debate with Rodney Martin, and suddenly it disappeared. Suddenly Michael Weaver's Facebook profile was deleted. But I had just, soon before that, I copied the whole thing and pasted it, so that's why we have transcript of this. I have a feeling that Rodney Martin did not want everyone.
Okay, you're breaking up a little bit, Margaret. I hope it clears up. You're in D.C. I don't know if I sound all right to you, then I'm not, but you sound like
just breaking up a little bit. Yes, breaking up.
Am I breaking up to you?
Yes. And you are.
So it's well, you're all breaking up. Let me ask listeners to write into carolynyeager.net. Carolyn at carolynyeager.net, Alan. Or as to how we're sounding here. If we're breaking up or are we breaking up, not her. I hope not.
Are we both breaking up?
I don't know. We'll have to wait for somebody to let us know.
Now you sound okay.
You don't sound good to me.
Well, I wonder if I should call back. And if it might get better. Let me see.
Well, let's wait and see what people say first to find out who it is. But
okay,
I'm surprised I haven't heard anything from anybody yet. Sometimes these things clear up, but so far it hasn't. So keep talking and we'll see.
Well, you know, I think what I'm going to do to introduce this a little bit just about the Kevin Alfred Strom case, since that's what this debate was about. I found a very good article on the Charlottesville Times, and anybody could find it if you look on Google, not necessarily on other search engines. Put Charlottesville Times and Strom. Find the article, which it's kind of refreshing to find in a mainstream media paper. That's pretty fair, I think. And it starts out saying, Kevin Alfred Strom, the Charlottesville man who's accused of being a racist and who pleaded guilty to possession of child pornography in a politically hinged case, staunchly maintains his innocence. What should the community's attitude be to him? And then he makes some very good points, and I'm just going to make these. These are the points.
Well, let's go to the PDF in the discussion with Rodney.
Yes.
Well, if you think this is important, but just in general, you are not convinced about the case against Kevin
Strom.
That's
right. I'm not.
And you have studied it and looked into it, and you don't feel
it. I looked at it in conjunction with this debate as it was going on. I started looking at it because I wanted to see what the truth of it was. Because first of all, there was this document up there, and it can't be, I couldn't find it on the net anymore. It appears to have been taken down. This began as a post on National Alliance, Reform and Reconstitution Group, which the one that's trying to take over from Eric Leiby.
Mm-hmm.
And then Michael Weaver put it on his blog from there. And the title on Michael's blog was More Evidence of Kevin Strom's Pedophilia. And the title on the NARG site is Kevin Strom's Signed Consent to Pedophilia Counseling. Now, the interesting thing is when you look at this document, that is not, it's not either one. It's an agreement that he signed, a contract with his wife, that he would go to counseling with this Harvey Yoder until Harvey Yoder said that he was not a pedophile, basically. I wish we had the whole document, but we don't. But mm-hmm. he was not saying what these people said it was.
You were trying to argue this with on this page that was taken down. You kept a copy of it, and Rodney Martin came on there. And there's a long section there, it just seems to go on and on, with you and another woman and Rodney Martin.
That's right. And he's calling. Go ahead.
Well, here on page 5, here comes Rodney Martin on.
Mm-hmm.
And we know how he has been going after Kevin Strom. And this is part of it's not a campaign. It is a kind of a campaign, but it's not what you wouldn't call it that. It's his inclination or whatever, the way he talks, to make himself the person who determines what should be and what shouldn't be in this, what he calls our movement, white movement.
Well, you know, that reminds me of the articles in the Portersville Tribune.
By the way, you're sounding all right again.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Because I saw the same attitude. I mean, even if he says he didn't write them, but it's the same thing of, oh, I'm God and I'm spitting on you. You know.
Well, you know, I noticed that too, when I was putting together those articles that I just posted last night from the Porterville Recorder. All of these articles are about, discussions and so on, reports about this card room issue. And it was very noticeable that he was talking to the people in his community, or these people who were, you know, opposed, either opposed to him or simply had a different point of view. as though they really, what they had to say was totally wrong. I would like to give some examples of it, but I don't have any pulled up right now. But, you know, just this dismissive way of speaking, which I never quite noticed. I don't think he used it with me for most of the time I knew him. So I didn't notice it, and I don't think he used it so much. It's usually used against enemies, so it seemed all right. But now he's using it against anybody who disagrees with him, and I see him using it now against other people in the movement who, you know, who he wants to say they don't belong here and only his ideas should be accepted. Yeah, go ahead.
The article that I didn't quote from because it does take some time from the Charlottesville Observer, Times, what was interesting was that was a really fair look at the Kevin Strom case. And then you have Rodney Martin come on, and he's giving the government view, not even the court view, because what he's quoting is things that were thrown out by the court, and he's quoting them over and over. It's the government's case against Strom that was thrown out, and he's quoting it as if it's fact. You see that 30 times he says, nine-year-old girl, Kevin Strom went after this nine-year-old girl. That was thrown out of court. You say, he says, you know, he hid in the bushes. You know, these really, it's just, you know, it bothered me because it's such a brainwashing tactic to just repeat lies over and over.
Exactly. That's exactly what he does.
And what's interesting, of course, is that things do not change when you give him evidence to the contrary. Because one of my points originally, I found a post on Stormfront that gave the points for why Strom was probably innocent. And I was looking at them methodically, starting with the fact that his counselor declared that he did not fit the DSM-4 standards criteria for pedophilia. So Rodney Martin gets in on and starts absolutely trashing this psychologist, and he says he's not qualified to make these. He's a letter for hire. He's just writing a bogus letter, blah blah blah, and really defaming this man. So I looked him up. It's all totally in order. You can look up his PNI number. That gives you the taxonomy numbers of what he's qualified to do. He is absolutely qualified to make a diagnosis of pedophilia. But does Rodney stop saying what he's saying? No, he just keeps saying the same thing over and over again. Mm-hmm. For, you know, this ended up being about 35 pages. But
yeah, I mean, I said it came on page 5, and now I'm going all the scrolling all, and you're right, it's 35 pages, and he's on every one of them, and you two are going at it. I guess a few people come on.
I mean, the tactics he uses, and
he never tires, does he?
No, but he never brings in, I mean, he never deals with the refutations. He never says, oh, well, in that case, here's what I have to say about that. No, he just keeps repeating.
Exactly.
He uses the phrase drawn to children. Notice Strom in the contract stipulated to being drawn to children. No, he didn't. He absolutely didn't. But he just says it.
Right.
And
right.
That's supposed to make you believe it.
And you said that this was the first time you had come in contact with Rodney Martin. You didn't really know anything about him.
No, I didn't. I was kind of flabbergasted because I didn't think of him as necessarily having such bad faith that he wouldn't look at the actual evidence. But it was obvious that he wasn't interested in looking at the actual evidence. He was interested in declaring that Kevin Strom was a pedophile, and logic be damned. But his tactics here, one page, there are two pages. He calls me names and he, you know, says I'm a pedophile lover or a pedo crush or something like that. Here he says, Margaret, under the logic you have put forth, this man was completely innocent and was framed as well. Lavrenti Beria. So he has two pages. He just pastes in two pages of biography of Beria and what a pedophile he was. And this is supposed to be an argument about why Kevin Strom is guilty?
Yeah, and for people, Lavrenti Beria was that horrible Jewish communist working under Stalin, who was what he was.
Yeah, and whether he was a pedophile or not, absolutely illogical. It's just he wants to fill another page, it seems like, with.
He likes to make connections that don't fit. On the other hand, and this is something I was wanting to say, so I'll stick it in here. He also wants to wrap himself in certain people, and he keeps, when he talks, he's defending himself or whatever, he compares it to something that these people did, and here are some of the people he has done this with. William Pierce, who he never knew from
Adam. Oh, yes.
You know, and when William Pierce had already died, he was still doing his regular thing, you know, as a, I don't know, anti-Nazi person or something. Now Kevin McDonald, he tries to bring in Kevin McDonald. Well, I'm sure Kevin McDonald had a lot of students as a professor that he didn't like, but he couldn't do it. He uses that to say that he had clients like these Indians or whatever that he didn't really like, but he had to have them. And then he, what was the other one he's done that with? Oh, I had it. I can't think of it now. Just skipped my mind. Well, sorry about that. But anyway, it was a good one too. It's a real good one. That recently has brought up. So, Deanna Spingola, he does that with Deanna Spingola too. He's trying to identify with her.
I see.
I think she has such a good reputation, and so he connects himself with her. But, I know the other one, Martin Luther. Now he's getting big on Martin Luther, you know, and he's got that all over his Facebook page and using that as a avatar. This is how he does it. I mean, he's sneaky about these things, so he has to give it thought. It's not just by accident.
Well, here he said he brings in Frank Collins after that. Frank Collins, who was found to be a pedophile and blah, blah, and Jewish, Jewish Nazi. So he brings him in and puts a bunch of that about Frank Collins. And then he says, you sure keep interesting company.
Yeah. That's because the kind of thing
he says, your defenses, frame up, etc., all apply to Beria and Frank Cohen as well. You sure keep interesting company. Oh, I see. Now I'm a friend of Beria and Frank Cohen.
Yeah, and so he condemns people in that way. Who else does that? What group of people is that typical behavior of?
Well, in general, I became very suspicious of him over this conversation because of so many tactics he was using that seemed, I guess, shill-like or,
Yeah, but it's also generally, what we consider Jewish behavior. Jewish behavior because, well, not, you know, every Jew, but it's more typical among Jews to, they've learned this, you know, in their culture, to turn things around, to project what they are doing.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Outside on the other. And this is what Rodney does all the time. He doesn't accept
anything inversion
about himself that he doesn't want. He just turns it. And if you come up like I've done with a good case about him, he will then take every one of those things and he will write something and accuse me of it. You see, he'll just absolutely turn it around and accuse me of it. That's as much imagination as he's got, really.
Yeah, well, just repeat. Here's another sentence. You omit the fact that he was caught with his pants down attempting to entice a 9-year-old child. He hid in the bushes at her school, blah, blah, blah. He admitted in the second paragraph to being drawn to children. This is like the 20th time he said each of those little sound bits.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, I can repeat things like that he's said about me, too, and he didn't have this long discussion to go by. But he gets with a few friends of his, and together they repeat these things, and they all back him up. They back him up, and they repeat his complaints and so on.
Of course, the background to this partly is that the National Alliance Reform and Reconstitution Group wants, I guess they're suing Eric Glebe now, and they want to take over the mantle of the National Alliance. And meanwhile, Kevin Strom has announced that he and Will Williams are starting a National Alliance themselves. Mm-hmm. And so then they're saying, oh, that's illegal to take the copyrights, et cetera. So yeah. I think they should fight them fair. If that's what the problem is, you know, leave out all the lies and just go to the legality.
Well, yeah, he's trying to attack Glebe. He's trying to make out that I was defending Glebe, which I never did. You know, I mean, he just lies. And like you say, if I correct him, he doesn't pay any attention to it. He just continues repeating it. And so he would be, and he hates Will Williams and of course Kevin Strom for one reason, because they're not Christian, and they make that very clear. So there's a lot of bad animosity there. And so he would be on the side of the other group that's trying to take over from Glebe. He is on that side. He said so. And I wonder how much they appreciate him. Well, we are going to our break, Margaret, so hang on, and listeners, we'll be back in 5 minutes.
Okay.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. And this is Carolyn Yeager with the Heretics Hour on February 10th, 2014. And I have with me here Margaret Huffstickler. And she's a very good speaker, and she's been telling us some interesting things about this kind of a online debate she got involved in with Rodney Martin over the Kevin Strome controversy, and the way that what she noticed about Rodney. And now, Margaret, we have not been in contact about this, or even in contact at all, have we? And you just sent this to me 2 days or 3 days ago, because you saw my article and you said you had this thing with Rodney and it was bothering you. And when you saw my article about him, you thought you would send it to me.
Yes, exactly. It was cut off so suddenly, and I thought a little suspiciously even. I think it's fairly easy to terminate somebody's Facebook page.
Go into that again. So not only was this, it was on Facebook, and it was on Michael Weaver's Facebook. What? Am I breaking up to you now?
Yes. Yes, you were, but now you're okay.
All right. I'm moving my mic around. I should keep my hands off it. That's probably why. Let me check my mic level. Okay. Any touching of this mic and it affects the sound for a moment. Okay. I'm glad we're all right. So, and then for some reason this whole thing disappeared. Now, go into that again.
Yes, it just suddenly disappeared overnight, and I had just luckily just decided to copy and paste the whole thing. So I had this transcript, but it was no longer public. And I thought some of this was kind of important information, because especially if all this information is going to be going around saying Kevin Strom's a terrible pedophile and blah, 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 it would be nice for some people to see some of the evidence on the other side. But one of the questions, I think, is why, you know, when this person in the Charlottesville Times can take an objective view of it, why is Rodney Martin pushing the government side, which not even the court took the government side? The only thing that Kevin ended up being convicted of was 8 thumbnail porn pictures that had already been deleted. And there's other evidence which I haven't read, which apparently he wasn't even at the house for 5 months before this porn was found, or at his computer, all kinds of things. But
I'm really amazed at that myself, because, you know, from only what I was familiar with, and I've never tried to look into it much, and I'm not that interested in Kevin Strome, to get involved in it. So I didn't, and I just had the general idea, well, you know, he really has some unhealthy inclinations there. And then they have this picture of him that's constantly, it was even on that Charlottesville article, mm-hmm. that picture that makes him look, you know, rather gay.
One of the problems, this is kind of...
But I didn't know that the evidence was that thin. I really didn't. I'm surprised. I'm glad to learn that. Go ahead.
Yeah, absolutely. All that he ended up pleading guilty to was 8 inadvertent deleted thumbnail images that could have just popped up any time. I mean,
yeah. It seems like I have a bad internet connection. But I would have to close everything down to start that up again. But I think that might be it, although what I've got here now I can see, and I can see my mail also. I closed there all the other windows. Well, let's just continue then. I don't have that page up anymore, but you were talking about I hear that sound again. You were about something. Go ahead.
I was just thinking that it's very strange that Rodney Martin would take the government's side on this. Of course there are, you hear, you know, Mao Zedong supposedly spent half the time in his big war, you know, fighting the other generals on his side, so he would end up the chief honcho. So maybe it's just that, but I got very suspicious in this whole thing. You think about the fact that somebody from not, who disapproves of Kevin's politics can write an objective article. And he could have looked up any of the things I looked up. You know, he didn't have to start from a point of total, you know.
Well, continue then, Margaret. Yeah, okay. Here's the thing. Are there people, are these just people that are incompetent doing things like Rodney? Or is there something behind all this? And, you know, I go back and forth. And sometimes I see it from a perspective and I say, Rodney is not a real person. And, I mean, he's not a sincere person. And in spite of lying and so on. But he's got to have been interjected into this because he has his, you know, his background just doesn't fit. And, you know, all of a sudden. And
well,
all
one thing
stuff,
he's worked for the government. Why would he ever have stopped?
Right, right. He was always working for the government. And when he tries to say that he was self-employed and working for himself, but there's not anything anywhere about that. All that you can find in any of those articles in the newspaper is that he was in Yuma, Arizona, and he was working in government on all levels, federal, state, and local, and he was involved in Indian affairs and an Indian commission. And then he tries to poo-poo that and make light of that. When actually, he doesn't give any details, you see. He never shows any evidence whatsoever of anything. And he says, well, he was self-employed and he was just doing some of that, you know, as a self-employed person, a contractor and so on. But he's lying about that. And then he got this job in Porterville for, with the, around the Thule Indian Reservation. And he moved his family there. And that had been in 2006. And he was and then he ran for city council twice in 2010 and 2012 as a very ordinary, normal conservative. And then suddenly he's showing up in the – oh, at the same time he's showing up over at IHR. Could you hear any of that?
Yes, I heard most of it. I've got a note saying that I should ask you if Rodney has ever claimed to be a disabled veteran. He told John King that he is one.
He told
John
King.
And that he barely survived a helicopter crash.
Really? Well, he doesn't talk about that. I would like somebody to ask him, see if I ask him things, he's not going to answer anything. But other people who have some credibility with him, they should get him to explain his entire service record because he says that, that he's got retirement pay. And if it's now he managed to get disability, well, that might all be set up too. You know, he may have been, recruited while he was in the Army, if that's what he was in. But you know, you'd think he would talk about that more. And he says in this last thing he wrote that he's always been open about everything and he's, talked to people about everything. So, he doesn't hold back. Well, people should ask him these things and then get a good answer from him because what he does is he doesn't really answer properly.
Yes, I think you noticed the last five pages of the transcript I sent you. All it is him constantly asking Susan and me both, well, would you let your child sleep over at Kevin Strom's house? And he just won't stop asking it, you know. It's
right.
Just totally stupid. It's no evidence of anything. And I tell him I'm not going to answer. And then he just asks it again. Or then he says, well, then you would. Or, well, then you wouldn't. Or, you know, and if I said I would, then if I said I wouldn't, then he'd say, ha, so you do think he's a pedophile. If I said I would, then he'd say, you'd let him stay at a pedophile's house? You know, it would be, heads you win, tails you lose.
Well, that's exactly right, and I did read all that, and and I know.
Yes.
And so, go ahead. So the question is then, you know, what do we do about people like this? I mean, we're doing a good thing here tonight, I think, by the two of us separately discovering these things and talking about them. And the whole thing of infiltration I've been bringing up for a while now, but I don't really take it anywhere because, you know, you don't know who it is and you don't want to start accusing people because that just gets to be kind of personal and, you know, you don't like someone or whatever. But I think that it's a big, big problem. And of course, this only feeds into the people who say, like, Tom Metzger and others, well, we should, just be, lone wolves. And that way nobody can infiltrate anybody. Well, they still can't because they can be pretending to be a part of your movement. Not everything is just going to be a lone wolf. I mean, we have stuff on the internet. We have radio programs. We have a lot going on. And it only stands to reason that they're going to be putting lots of people in there. We mentioned to one another just yesterday, you agreed with me about Germany, how because of, this
That's
National
right.
Socialist Underground thing that became such big news and all, that it came out again how when they investigate, they find that most of the leaders, not the national leader, but, you know, local leaders and so on, are federal agents, and that there's more federal agents involved in these groups that they call extremist, right-wing extremist groups, than anybody else. And they do also move into leadership positions. They're not just the rank and file down there, you know, sending in their dues and being quiet, but they are ideal members in that they really work at it and they, you know, they take responsibility and they volunteer for things. And so they're out there in front. And I think one thing that they do is to keep things, anything from really being successful, to just keep it screwed up, you know. And you can see Rodney, see that in someone like Rodney. But how do you get that across to enough people? How do we keep people educated enough to know about this? And how do we spot people from lying? Because one thing we should separate. Liars are people who won't answer.
Oh, good.
Hello.
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, and I'm here. And what time is it? We've got 28 minutes left, or 27 or so. So let's continue. Let's hope. Let's hope that things are okay now.
Yeah, it sounds much better.
Yeah, it does sound good. All right. So where were we? I think I had too much stuff up or something. Too many pages open, but I think it was something more than that. Now, if we were into conspiracy, we would say, well, somebody doesn't want us to be saying that. Who has
That's
this
right.
kind of power? But I don't usually, I believe that it's just technical issues that come up.
Yeah, I usually don't. just a minute. I'm going to find out if people can hear us.
I think so, because I've got a sound level going here. And
oh, good.
Running normally, and we lost a whole lot of listeners, but I'm not surprised at that, but there's some that are still with us.
Still hanging in.
Yeah,
okay.
And Tan can take that dead part out. He's going to have a lot of work to do on this podcast. Try to clean it up so people can listen to just what we have here that's good. But anyway, we've still got some time left. So we were kind of talking about infiltration and what we can do about it, and you had some ideas. You were saying some things, but I couldn't make out what you were saying.
Yeah, and I don't remember what I was saying, but but I mean, obviously you really want to keep an eye on I guess the lying thing, and especially if it comes from the supporting what the opposition believes or wants you to believe. Someone's asking for a telephone number to call in.
Well, the telephone number is 830, starts with a 1, of course, 443-4911. And do you think that someone like Rodney Martin, from what we both have discovered and feel and think about him, should there be a big effort to drive him out, to drive him away, and to try to convince people who are continuing to support him and sponsor him to see the light about this? I mean, you know, there's so many people that say, well, it's none of your business. Leave people alone. Let people make up their own mind and so on.
Well, I agree that people should make up their own minds. I just think that they should have the evidence to do it with. And I think that actually this transcript of the way he was arguing on that Facebook thread, which normally no one would have seen, is kind of important if anybody's curious about who Rodney Martin is, because he's there in his blazing glory there. Really, it flabbergasted me just how well he could dance, or not well, but how much he danced.
Well, that was a good word that you used, because he does dance. He dances all around, but I don't think he's a good dancer. See, I think he's so obvious. And you did too. I mean, you right away said, gee, there's something wrong with this guy.
Yeah, it's hard to believe that. There's some saying about that, you know, that if a person of goodwill sees the truth, then, you know, there's only one thing they can do, and that's to deal with the truth. And if you don't, then either you're incredibly stupid, which I don't think he is, or there's something wrong.
Well, then another thing is that people have thought, so many people, that he was so knowledgeable about the Third Reich and mm-hmm. National Socialism. And I've heard people say, oh, he's like an encyclopedia about it. He knows mm-hmm. everything. Well, it's just not true. And I noticed I've noticed a lot of things, but I don't want to say some of them because it sounds self-serving on my part, like, you know, he's uh-huh. copying yeah. me or whatever. But at the same time, I know that you can read up on a subject.
Yeah, exactly.
Ahead of time. And then you just give that information. And we all read up on stuff before we're going to talk about it, you know. I mean,
if you were on assignment to infiltrate white nationalists, that's just what you would do. You would want to be an authority on Adolf Hitler and the Third Reich, you know. So if that would be part of your preparation.
Well, that's right. And you don't even have to know that much ahead of time. He just knows what he's talking about in the moment. And Veronica Clark did the same thing. I answered this call, but I don't know. Answering call from 2916. They haven't come on yet. They're still.
What is?
Oh, there he is. Okay. A person that wanted to know the number is called in. I think that it's not hard, and people need to understand that, because someone can get on. And of course, another thing that Rodney Martin does on his radio appearances is that he says, well, we're going to talk about, I want to talk about this, 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 and this. And then he'll start in and he'll repeat a few things over and over again, so that he's got a few notes there, and he'll say, okay, now we're going to move on. But he never moves on, and he comes back and repeats what he's already said. And you would think that people would not like, I noticed that, and it really bugs me. But
that
yet,
sounds familiar. It's just like the same, like this thread. You just, same thing yeah. over 30 times about a 9-year-old girl. 30 times he said it.
Yeah, right. Emphasis. Okay, caller, would you identify yourself, please?
Yeah, sure. My name is John King, and I'm calling from deep southern Indiana, where we still have snow on the ground. And I have been dealing with Rodney for a week or two. I found his site very intriguing. And Margie knows me pretty well, so she can vouch for me.
And you've called in this program before, John.
I think I have. Maybe
yes.
I just have Maybe I have Alzheimer's, not Alzheimer's.
No, I remember you calling one time, so I'm glad you called tonight.
Well, you know, the allegation in the Porterville Recorder that his wife is an Eastern Cherokee is very disturbing of me, because Rodney attacks everybody. He says, we don't need any race mixers and people with mixed race children in this movement. No pedophiles and perverts and, you know, we need another the long knives for ourselves. A reference to others.
Oh, I want to say one thing. He spells Knight of the Long Knives. Okay. Knight of the Long Knives. I don't
knight
know.
like in the, you know, a chivalrous knight. You know, Rodney cannot spell. And he can't even write. I mean,
that means he doesn't even know what it means. That it means.
And he doesn't know German either, because I've noticed on his website there's mistakes with German grammar where he has something written in German.
No, he knows no German, and he would be talking all the time about, my German grandparents brought me up this way and that way, and everything is German. He's even got the word, you know, printed on his site, Willkommen, you know, for welcome. And yet he doesn't know a single word of German, and of course I don't know it either. But when he pronounces words, he's almost always absolutely wrong in his pronunciation of Germany. He's never been to Germany either.
I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt, but when I talk to him again, I'm going to demand that he show me a picture of his family and his wife, Peggy.
Oh, okay, John. You know, that's really not the big issue now, because I have now seen a picture of his wife and family.
Oh, let's hear it.
Okay. I can't show it because I don't know that, you know, I don't think he wants to have his family, at least he would say so, doesn't want his family up on the Internet because the children are in there. However, somebody found this. I have a few friends who really do some good work, which I'm not.
Well, people can blot out the pictures of the children.
That's right. It's a picture from his campaigning days. Probably would be from 2010, I think, considering the age of the children. And he and his wife are standing there, and she does have long, reddish, blonde hair. And it's very blurry because it's a small picture and it can't be blown up bigger, so it just comes out blurry. She's not beautiful, but she kind of looks like it because she's got this long hair, but her funny mouth. But she doesn't look Indian, or she could be 1/8 or 1/16 Indian very easily. A lot of people could be, you know, and not look it. But now, wait a minute, and then they're standing there, and then the boys are short enough, and the girls are all kneeling on the floor, three of them. So you could just take that part of him and his wife, and he could put it on his website, and, you know, beautiful. I mean, there she is, just like he says. But he hasn't done so. Why doesn't he do so?
That is strange.
Yes.
And then he talks to me and tells me, well, John, I'm a disabled veteran. Well, it happens, Carolyn, that I am a legitimate disabled veteran, okay? But I don't see anything about him that he's a disabled veteran. And he told me that he had to go to the VA hospital for an MRI, and he said it was 50 miles south of where he lives. And I look on a map, and Portersville is about 150 miles north of L.A., he's telling me 50 miles to the VA hospital, but it doesn't make sense.
No, well, he's a compulsive liar, John. I'm convinced, because I've looked at this too much, you know, and every time I write things about him, he responds in this very, you know, crazy way of just lying about everything, which he doesn't even have to lie about it. He could say so, but he doesn't. He seems to be covering something up.
The fact is that you can't get involved in this Indian business. He was involved with the Indian tribes in Yuma, Arizona, and now in the Thule tribe. You can't get involved in this kind of work unless you have some connection to the Indians.
Well, he got. I don't know about that. I guess after he came back from his service. He got these connections, or he had these connections. He got jobs with his local representative, congressman, you know, in the House of Representatives, and he got put on some commission for Indian affairs of some kind. And so he's got ins with the government, which makes Margaret suspicious.
Me too.
Yeah, and so, you know, he keeps trying to say that, oh, he had his own, he was working as a consultant in these ways. He wasn't a consultant. He was working for these people.
He was the head honcho. He was the administrator.
Well, yeah, and then when he went to the Tule tribe, he was the administrator. So, he got this in with the Indians, now here's the thing. That article that I first brought up from January 2007, that interview with him by the reporter that said his wife is an Eastern Cherokee. He says, oh, we objected to that. We insisted they change that. We did this. They did this. They did that. None of that happened. It's all a lie. It just went through. It just stayed that way. So he either didn't mind or he wanted it to be there or something, because it made his connection with the Indians better.
And that was in his diversity days, wasn't it?
Yes, that was in his diversity days.
And I read both those articles in your letter, Carolyn, his two letters to the editor, and I mean, uh-huh. He's quoting that disgusting Pastor Niemöller. First they came for the communists,
I know.
Then they came for the Jews,
Yeah, you know, and I know that he was serious about that then. I know that, I don't know how serious he was, but he didn't put that out there in any, you know, thinking that he was just putting something over on these people.
He said something about how, well, in those days, you know, he had to take care of his wife and children, you know, and think of them. But so he didn't have to write those letters or articles for that. He had a job.
And that one was an editorial. The first one defending his assistant, from which he didn't say she was his assistant, but.
Now, he's also told me that his wife had a stroke and that he helps take care of her. I mean, she can't be any more than like in her early 40s. I mean, it is possible, but
yeah, that can. I knew a woman in her early 40s who had a stroke.
Yeah, but it might not be that bad of a stroke. You know, I mean, you can.
She's in a wheelchair, Carolyn. Don't be so callous.
Is that what he said? She's in a wheelchair.
Yeah.
Well, then he says he's going to take her in July to Pennsylvania along with his children.
He's going to wheel her out there.
Oh, my gosh. I mean, how expensive is that going to be? But he's going to go to the Freedom Palooza. I don't think so. I think he's saying that. Now, but, you know, could this be tactics that people, infiltrators, use to just get everybody all worked up? You know, I have this theory about things like Sandy Hook and 9/11, that they put all this, they make sure that things come out so that they're not believable and, you know, they don't have credibility, and then they get everybody focused on figuring out and trying to, you know, find the truth and then also trying to convict the bad guys and so on. And we spend, lots of people spend, who are intelligent people, spend all kinds of time and hours in these conspiracy things, which I think have some basis, but, you know, I think that might be used to just take up our time, and I think that's a big thing we should be looking at,
that's
is how we are distracted.
Yeah. That's exactly right. It's wasting our time by having us look in the past. I mean, if you were driving your car, Carolyn, and all you did was you looked at the rearview mirror and didn't look at the front, what's going to happen?
Yeah.
We can't be distracted with the past. We can learn from it, but we have to plan the future, because our race right now is in its 11th hour, literally. We're 8% of the world's population and decreasing. I don't have time to sit around and discuss what happened to Kennedy or what happened to this and that affair, you know, or whatever.
And it never is going to get anywhere, and you're never going to get these people, and you're never going to convict them. And they always say, well, we're going to string them up when we get them. This is probably fake people who are saying that, because it's not going to happen. It has never happened. So forget
it. Sure, if we continue down this foolish pathway, the only people who are going to be strung up are our white children and grandchildren when they become a minority in this country. They're going to get the same fate as the white minority got in Haiti in 1804.
Well, that's right. And you know, when it comes down to it, I'm very interested in Third Reich and Hitler and all of that, and yet I know our biggest problem and Holocaust revisionism. I mean, I'm very committed to that and interested and I care about it, but I know that our biggest problem is our demographics. And the more we don't pay attention to that, and I just think Rodney Martin is a part of that, making us not pay attention. And also attacking other people who are, he says, oh, you're race mixers and so on, which is just a distracting thing and causing arguments within the movement. And like the argument over with between the National Alliance groups and so on, just feeding into all these arguments that we spend our time on.
The way I see it, if NARG wants to start, you know, take over Gleeby's part of the National Alliance and Kevin Strom wants to start his own National Alliance, more power to him, you know. Let the who cares?
Yeah. Well, you right. Know? There can be two of them, or they can, you know, have a little bit of a different name or have the same name. I don't know. But, yeah, I mean, I think this is probably the key thing to look at. Who is creating a distraction? And then they like to say about someone like me who's trying to tell the truth that I'm a divider. And they want to say, oh, if you divide people, you know, then you're causing the problem. But at the same time, they're dividing people. Rodney's kind of become a divider because he's gotten into all these different controversies.
We
have to divide ourselves from the fakes. I mean, we have to do that.
Well, the bottom line is, unless our people create their own ethno-state somewhere in this world, we're going extinct. That's the bottom line, because we're going to be... we whites already are a minority in the United States if you count those 50 million illegal aliens. But certainly within 30 years in Western Europe, Australia, America, so Canada, we will be the minority. And then henceforth, we will just become a smaller, smaller, smaller minority, and we'll be destroyed. So unless we create an ethno-state, and I encourage everyone listening to get the book Nova Europa by Arthur Kemp, where he talks about how to build an ethno-state, like Orania in South Africa, for example, we're just wasting our time, you know, debating these old issues from the past. We really are. It's a distraction. And, I mean, I love Holocaust revisionism, and there were years and years when I was younger, when I was a young man, where I was addicted to that stuff. It was like a drug. I read everything about the Holocaust. But how did that benefit white children? Not at all.
Well, I think that actually for people to learn about it is very important, because I think a lot of the self-hating of whites is from that. I mean, it was intended that way, and it is that way. And in fact, the concept of that race is just a social construct, that comes directly from the fake Holocaust, because they had the conference to establish that by the Ashley Montague and the cultural anthropologists. That was definitely, specifically, they referred to the atrocities by the Germans in the Second World War as their impetus to declare once and for all that race is just a social construct, so that it will never happen again. And, you know, so it's all downhill from there. There's, right. You know, everybody else can think there's something, that there's are races, but whites better not ever think about it, because they're just, you know, they're the criminals. So it still is very important. And, you know, Vincent Renoir said that. He said, what you want to look at when you're dealing with an enemy is where does he put his strongest fortifications? Because that's where he's weak. Mm-hmm. And what do they jail people for?
Yeah. Well, I don't think we need to all say, well, we're all going to forget about this and that and the other thing. We're all going to work on this thing.
Yeah.
Because that's why, you know, I'm happy. I couldn't possibly give up working on Holocaust and the Hitler issues and so on, but I don't expect everyone to do it, and I care about the white issues, and that is, I do recognize that that is the key, the most important thing. And so, John, you know, I guess the first thing I want to say was, we shouldn't be tolerating some kind of buffoon. And he is a buffoon, like Rodney Martin. Should we? And the other thing is, where do you think people should be? Where do you think is the best hope for the for this racial issue?
Well, we have to come together. I'm always talking about creating a professional organization that's transnational called United White, and I actually own that domain, but I don't have a website on it right now. I want to create a international organization of serious white people. No felons, no pedophiles, no wife batters, only people of good repute. And because that kind of membership is what draws the average white person in middle America to get involved.
Thinking that you're going to get a larger, that's exactly, no wonder you're talking with Rodney, because that's exactly the way Rodney talks, that we're going to get, we're going to reach out to all these people who care about whites, but they don't, they're not woken up yet, and they don't like these extremist type things, and they don't want to see that, and
no riffraff.
Well, I think it's impossible to awaken the white masses. 60 years of education on our side has been fruitless. So the fact is that the only way to go is for those whites who want a white future is to get them together to create a white homeland somewhere
in
this world.
How do you get them together? You think you're going to get them together by starting another website?
Well, I don't really know. I'm open for ideas. I'm sincere in what I say, in that most whites cannot be saved. Arthur Kemp writes in his book, Nova Europa, sold at Amazon, that most whites cannot be saved. That even when a white republic, an ethnostate, is established somewhere in the world, the vast majority of whites will die outside of its borders of miscegenation and murder violent elements of the dark races.
So you were talking, with Rodney Martin about this because you thought that he was on the same lines. Is that right?
He started to talk back to me. When I tell him I'm a disabled veteran, he says, "Oh yeah, John, I'm a disabled veteran too. I was in a helicopter crash and nearly killed, and it was a black mechanic that was responsible for the helicopter not malfunctioning."
Okay, so do you believe that, or you think he's?
No,
coming?
I don't really believe it now. I don't. As the days go by and I read those letters in your articles, those two articles that you referenced, I saw them myself. I said, how can a guy believing this kind of leftist, cultural Marxist bullshit change into a national socialist in 4 or 5 years? It doesn't happen.
Yeah, it can, but not him, because he would be telling the truth about how he did it. And he's not. He won't, you know. So that's what it says to me, you know, because people can have a change fast, but they have to be willing to tell the truth about it. So what do you think should be done about Martin? Just leave him alone?
Well, I mean, isn't his Alexa rating like 8 million in the world?
Well, yeah, I know, really. And I don't want to give him a lot of attention. I think
the world is ignoring him as right now as we speak.
Yeah, and probably will do so even more. I imagine this program is gonna do some good. So, and those posts and so on. So, I guess I don't need to worry about him. And again, it's a distraction. It can be a distraction. And I don't know. What about these people trying to create this new national alliance? You don't think that's a place that you might go and help out, or do you?
I don't know if I'm really interested in that, because unless you're going to talk about creating a white homeland, I don't want to talk to you, because I have studied the demographics in detail of what is happening in our countries, and we're going under. So I don't want to hear any BS about creating some alliance of this or that. I want to hear people talking about creating a white ethnostate. And
okay.
If you're not, I don't want to talk to you.
Okay, well, we're about, we've only got, some seconds, 30 seconds left, so I want to thank you, John, for calling in. And Margaret, I want to thank you so very much. You were a great guest.
Thank you very much, Carolyn, and nice to hear you, John.
I think I should have, closed down and started up my, restarted my whole, internet at the beginning of the show when we first had trouble, but I didn't know that it was, my internet connection. I thought maybe it was Skype. So there you go. But anyway, this last part was real good. I know. I'm not going to hear. We're not going to hear the. Are we going to hear the music? We didn't hear that 10-minute thing. I think. So, good night, everyone.
Okay, good night. Thank you, Carolyn.
Thanks for listening, and be sure to visit Carolyn's website at carolynyeager.com.